Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Northern Focus, Q100's Community Affairs and Events program we host each and every Friday through our partnership with Kirtland Community College. Do something today for your future that you can be proud of and visit kirtland.edu, Michigan's finest educational website. We always start out the program with somebody from Kirtland, and Kathleen Fox is with us quite a bit because your innovations with the apprenticeship programs, Kathleen, you know, there's not a lot of schools that are doing what you're doing, and you're going to have a big event next Thursday.
Hi, Jerry. That's correct. So Kirtland is going to participate in the National Apprenticeship Week. We're going to do a kickoff event on November 10th at the Kirtland Grayling campus, and we're inviting businesses and industry and educators and even the public who wants to get, you know, some more information on apprenticeships to come out and hear from experts why apprenticeships are a fresh approach to increasing and improving your workforce.
Yeah, as we were talking off air, and we've been talking about this a lot, the biggest problem in Northern Michigan and probably across the country is the lack of qualified employees. And apprenticeships are a direct corollary to getting employees, retaining employees, and having qualified employees working and learning and getting paid all at the same time.
Right, and that's why I'm kind of calling it a fresh approach. I mean, apprenticeships truly are not new.
No, not at all.
But they are somewhat new for this region, I'm finding. We do have some bigger companies that have embraced the apprenticeship model and are doing great. I don't think they're suffering with finding talented workers. But we have other companies that they hear about apprenticeships now, they know about them, but they're still kind of on the fence. They're just not really sure how that's going to fit for them. And there's been a lot of studies done recently about, you know, how we're going to fix this problem, what they're calling a worker drought. And our region up here is certainly in a worker drought. We're having a hard time our employers are having a hard time finding skilled workers. And the reasons should not shock anybody. I mean, we have population growth is slowing here. Our workforce is aging out. We have fewer students going into a college directly after high school. And those that are going to college after high school are not going into the trades programs or the manufacturing programs that this region, that those are the kinds of jobs that are really providing that middle, you know, that that good income for people, and we don't have students going into those programs or not enough students going into those programs to really support our manufacturers out there. So this event is going to be highlighting apprenticeship and how, you know, maybe it is time now. Let's take a fresh approach. Let's look at something different. Let's build our own talent pool.
Well, and you could do this across any industry. I think that's part of the disconnect. Yes, apprenticeships have been around for a long time, you know, in electrical and HVAC and plumbing. That's pretty much been the standard. And what you've been working with at Kirtland, with other different manufacturers, you don't have to be in manufacturing. It could be any type of business. Kirtland can put together a program that will teach the students that particular industry and get them paid at the same time, and it just works out best for the employer and the potential employee.
That's right, Jerry. And, you know, many reports, but a recent report came out that was highlighting, you know, what is going to be required to improve the skilled work shortage that we're facing.
Right.
And what can higher ed do? And I looked through this report, and I think they had like 10 suggestions, and 8 of them are directly related to what apprenticeship programs have already been doing. One of them was, you know, understanding the trends in your region. Well, we certainly understand what the trend is in our region. You know, our programs meet with advisory boards. They have advisory boards made up of the companies that are out here. And so we know what the need is, and we've put programs together, and we've got the curriculum that supports what they're doing at their job. But we don't have students going into those programs.
Right.
Okay? So the other thing that, you know, that a suggestion was made was to adapt to serve the adult learners, to make learning more flexible for them. Well, Kirtland's done a great job at that. They, you know, they've got many online programs for the adult worker, for people who need, you know, who can't come to a traditional day class. Apprenticeships are set up so that it works around a worker's schedule. So, you know, if a person's working, then we're going to offer classes at night. Heck, if I have to offer the course at the place of employment, which I have, we will do that. So, you
right.
know, we're very adaptable to serve the adult learner. The third thing that they suggested was don't make people choose between education and work. That's apprenticeship. They're not choosing between, okay, I'm going to go to school full-time or I'm going to go to work full-time. I can't do both. No, you don't have to do both with apprenticeship. You're going to go to school part-time. You're going to go to work part-time. You might do a program where you just work and then you just go to school. It just depends on how the employer wants to set up their apprenticeship program. We've talked about this, Jerry. Employers are in the driver's seat. They're the one. It's their program. It's really not Kirtland's program. We're just here to facilitate the training that they need. But this is their program. They're going to set it up. They're going to pick the classes that their apprentices need to be of value to them. Another suggestion made for higher ed was that we need to partner with employers to develop, you know, relevant curriculum. That's absolutely apprenticeship, because we're not concerned with them earning a certificate or a college degree. We're concerned with them taking the right classes for the work that they're directly doing for the employer. And having them go through a program. Now they will earn a national credential, which is very nice at the end of all this. And they will become a journey worker, which is recognized nationally that they've got the skill sets to do a particular type of job. But that's not our focus. Our focus is to make sure that people coming through the apprenticeship program are taking relevant classes that they need for their job. And then a fifth suggestion was be a bridge, you know, help reconnect the unengaged or overlooked talent pools. Well, that's what the apprenticeship program does. You know, I'm working with partners like Michigan Works who are out there working with the disabled population, the formerly incarcerated population. We're looking at youth apprenticeships to get our youth engaged while they're still in high school. So we're working as a bridge to try to help employers, you know, have a steady stream of people to choose from. Prepare students to work well with technology. Well, apprenticeship programs have pre-apprenticeship programs that get people ready to take on those kind of college curriculum courses that they're going to need so that they have the background and the basic skills to be able to take technology classes and math classes and work well, you know, in their employers, with their employers. And then the last one that I picked up on out of this report are the speak the language of skills. You know, employers continue to loosen or eliminate a degree requirement. And apprenticeships never was about a degree requirement. Again, you know, we're all about focusing on a skill-based approach to learning. What do they need to do their job well? And so we're inviting people out on November 10th to get reconnected. That day we're going to have, you know, me kind of talking about this same thing. Russ Davis, our state director for the U.S. Department of Labor Apprenticeship Office, will be there to talk about youth apprenticeship. Our Michigan Works Northeast for this region will be there to help employers understand what the funding looks like, because there's money to help support these programs.
Right.
And to help, you know, to help these companies start these programs, and then really to help even that apprentice and their workers to have what they need to be successful. You know, do they need equipment? Do they need help with childcare? Do they need help with transportation? What do they need? You know, working together. So it's, again, it's coming together during National Apprenticeship Week to sit down and hash this out again and try to come up with some real solutions for our region on how we're going to advance our region.
Kathleen Fox from Kirtland Community College, tell our small business owners how to register for this. They're going to learn a lot, and it may actually help them avert this employee crisis.
Thank you. Well, they can register by going to our website.
Kirtland.edu.
Kirtland.edu. There should be a link right on the website. If not, they can contact Michigan Works Northeast and register for it. The event is free. I am asking people to kind of give me a heads up if they're coming and if they're bringing people with them, just because we're going to be serving some food at the event, food and drink. And I just want to make sure we have enough for people. So Michigan Works Northeast, they can contact me at kathleen.box@kirtland.edu or go to kirtland.edu website. Should see a posting there.
Kathleen Fox, thanks for the information. Best of luck. I will be out there on November 10th to be part of this event because I want to see firsthand how we can change the employee profile here in Northern Michigan. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Sweet Peas Muffin and Cupcakes. They brought them into the green room. They're available exclusively at Two River Deli. And Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Portions of this program were pre-recorded, but I am live on the phone with my good friend Mike Kent. And Mike is calling us about Toys for Tots for the Grand Traverse region. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jerry. How are you?
Well, great. It's, you know, that time of year where not only are we thinking about holiday shopping, but we're thinking about all the children who would be without a Christmas if it weren't for Toys for Tots.
Yeah, you know, when it's 70 degrees and sunny out in northern Michigan for the last couple of days, it's tough to think about winter and snow and Christmas. But, all right, let's get our Santa Claus hats on and let's start thinking about that because, yeah, believe it or not, it is time already.
Yeah, you had a great meeting, a kickoff meeting. So many people involved in this undertaking year in and year out, and I know you spend a lot of time, you and your lovely wife, working so hard to make sure that thousands of kids get toys for Christmas.
It always blows me away, Jerry, that any time that we go to the community and talk about the need at Christmas, this community always responds. And what you witnessed at that meeting that you were talking about is just one Toys for Tots. This is, you know, we handle a five-county area around Traverse City. But there are Toys for Tots in Gaylord and Grayling and Sheboygan and Charlevoix. Really, you know, it is, there are 800 programs in all 50 states that provide hundreds of thousands of children throughout the country. You know, we're responsible for roughly about, depending on the year, 6,000-7,000 children in our little area that
right.
we serve. And but this is a huge undertaking that was created by the Marines and continues. This is the 75th anniversary of
right.
Toys for Tots. And Jerry, it always gives me goosebumps when I see the reaction that people have. They just want to make sure that every child in northern Michigan has a great Christmas. And the relief that the parents see year after year, because we hear from them, because they want their kid to have a Christmas just like everyone else, but they go into this time of year, and they don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah. No, it's sad and yet wonderful at the same time. Mike, we have a couple little kickoffs that are coming up. You know, the traditional one that's happening at the Wolf Lodge, but another really cool event that you called me about this summer that is a first for Toys for Tots.
This is so cool, and it's starting Monday in Traverse City, which is there's a show on the Peacock Network called Angel's Garage, and they recondition, refurbish classic vehicles. And so they've got this 1970 Ford Mach 1 Mustang that they've
yes.
been reconditioning.
Yes.
It is glow-in-the-dark green.
Unbelievable.
And very cool.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they're done with it now. It's actually up at Sioux Motors and coming down Monday to Fox Grand Traverse and going to be on display for a couple of weeks here. So they have donated this car to the Toys for Tots Foundation. So the Toys for Tots Foundation will be raffling, actually Angel's Garage will be raffling this off.
Right.
Money goes directly to the Toys for Tots Foundation to help make sure that every child has a Christmas. And the tickets are like $5 in the handling fee. There are discounts for if you buy larger amounts.
Right, of course.
But the car is coming to Traverse City on Monday, Angel's Garage will have a production crew when it comes here, and then later in within the 2 weeks, there are a number of people from the show that will show up for a couple of days just to highlight that this car is, that there's a raffle going on for this car, and it's, like I said, it's a program that airs on the Peacock Network, and Angel, I just talked to her yesterday, who is, and Angela, actually, who
right.
is Angel's Garage.
Angel's Garage.
She is going to be here, along with her husband, and I think we're going to have a couple of surprises. I think there's going to be a gentleman, an actor from, who was in Breaking Bad. I think he is also going to be here also.
Well,
that's what I heard yesterday, anyway. We'll see if that happens, but... Yeah, it's pretty exciting because the money will be shared with a number of Toys for Tots campaigns around the country because it's going to the foundation.
Yep.
And so it's a really – I think you've – in fact, I think you have pictures of it on your website, if I recall correctly. Your
yeah,
Facebook site.
We do. It is – there's not a person in the world that wouldn't want this car for $5. And a portion of those raffle sales will go directly to us right here in the Grand Traverse Reason.
That's correct.
Yep.
There will be several other campaigns in our area that will receive money from that. But all of the proceeds from the raffle will be going to Toys for Tots.
Mike, can people buy raffle tickets if they stop out to Fox Motors to see the car while it's here?
People will be set up at Grand Traverse in order to help people to make that donation. And your listeners right now can go to myevent.com/Toys for Tots, and you can see the car, and you can buy raffle tickets today. They are available. And quite frankly, Jerry, I heard from the foundation, geez, a couple of weeks ago, and I was already shocked at how much money that raffle had.
No, I've seen those numbers, and they're quite impressive, but I'm buying that winning ticket. I don't care about the Powerball. I want that car. Very briefly, Mike, and then when is the event at the Great Wolf Lodge?
Well, Great Wolf Lodge kickoff is going to be taking place November 7th. So we haven't had one because of COVID
right.
the past 2 years. So between 12 and 2, we're going to be having this. Santa Claus is going to be there. It's going to be, in the past, we've always had it in the lobby. We're not going to have it in the lobby again because of COVID. We're going to spread things out a little bit. And we're going to have it at the Great Wolf Lodge Conference Center, November 17th from 12 to 2, a chance for people to and kids to visit with Santa Claus, make a donation of a toy, and you can get Great Wolf Lodge water park passes. The big key on this, Jerry, is, like we have done every year, we want to make sure about the safety of the children, the safety of the people who come to this. So the whole intent will be to spread things out. Little example is, in the past, we've always had door prizes. People would cluster together and wait for Santa to draw the winning prizes. We're not going to do that this year, and we're not going to have a choir. It's just going to be a much simpler kickoff at Great Wolf.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from there. A number of radio stations will be doing so, and we'll give the information out to make sure that people can come and enjoy Santa and be safe. But the main purpose of this event is to garner toys. So we want people to come out and bring toys, and they can win passes to Great Wolf Lodge. It's a fantastic event, and we look forward to being with it, Mike. One more time, what is it? Is my event, I'm sorry, what is the website address to buy the raffle tickets for the Mustang?
It's myevent.com/Toys for Tots.
Mike Kent from Toys for Tots here in the Grand Traverse region. Thanks for joining us on Northern Focus. This will not be our first conversation.
My pleasure as always, Jerry. You have a great day.
All right, thank you. We will be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the Green Room come from Sweet Peas Muffin and Cupcakes, available exclusively at Two River Deli. And Iron Pig Smoke delivered us. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Betsy Kofia, who is a candidate for the brand new 103rd District House race. And Betsy, before we get into your candidacy, talk about redistricting.
Well,
Yeah, so redistricting is a thing that we do every 10 years as a state. Every state does it. But in 2018, it's really exciting. The people of Michigan said, you know what, we're tired of this partisan nonsense. The politicians shouldn't get to draw the lines. And so they created a nonpartisan commission that drew new lines, which were much fairer, better for the voters. And ours is the 103rd. So what that is half of Grand Traverse County. It's Traverse City and the immediately surrounding townships. It's all of Leelanau County, and then it's Elmira and Platte Townships in Benzie County. That's the new 103rd, and it is a swing seat, what they call a 50-50 swing seat. So either party could win it, and both of us are going hard for it. It's one of the most hotly contested in the state, as I understand, of all 110.
Right. You're running against the incumbent, Jack O'Malley.
So he's not an incumbent in the new seat.
Right, yeah.
We are both incumbents. I am a county commission incumbent. I've served two terms.
Oh, okay.
He is an incumbent in a different House district, so he's been drawn in with me. So it's a brand new seat. There is no incumbent for the 103rd.
Yeah, so thanks for correcting me, because I know it's the same thing for Ken Borton in the 105th and all of that. So, yeah, a lot of people are out of district, but still members of the House or the Senate.
Yeah.
So talk about, you were a council person, and now you're making the next step up. So talk a little bit about your thoughts about running.
Yeah, so I was proud to flip a seat as a county commissioner in 2018. I flipped it from a multi-term incumbent. It was the first Democratic woman elected to my county commission in over 30 years, which is kind of cool. And then I won again in 2020 by an even higher margin. So I served two terms, almost 4 years at the county level. I've gotten to dig in on and really understand better issues around our housing crisis, mental health, you know, the child care issue, and
Was that Grand Traverse County?
Yeah, so Grand Traverse County.
I'm currently
sitting commission. In fact, I had a county commission meeting this morning, as it happens. But we were able to bond our pension debt without raising taxes. I got hazard pay for our first responders during those scary early days of COVID, because I saw, look, Jerry, they and their families were at higher risk because they couldn't work from home.
Sure.
And so that was the right thing to do. It took me two tries, but I got a couple of Republicans to sign on to it with me, and we got it done. So I've served, you know, as a very practical, pragmatic, bipartisan local leader, and I would like to bring that same tenacity and work ethic to the state house, because frankly, Lansing can feel real far away sometimes from what's happening on the ground
in our
communities, and I think that local elected experience can really go a long way to help address some of our most pressing issues.
When we were talking before we went on the air, you said you've been out pressing the flesh. Luckily for you, the weather's been fantastic, so knocking on doors. In your conversations with all the people in the brand new 103rd district, what are some of the real concerns that have been voiced to you?
Yeah, so I have been out knocking doors. I started in April, as soon as, you know, the snow started to melt a bit, and I've knocked thousands of doors over the last year. And I was out in Cedar the other day. I kind of laughed because it's so northern Michigan, right? It was snowing. I had my snow hat on, and then 2 days later it was 80 degrees and I had my flip-flops back on.
Right,
so,
of course.
But yeah, to your question, I would say, Jerry, probably the number one issue that has come up for me on doors, or a couple, but housing.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, a Munson high up, you know, executive who says, God, we keep offering good, really good paying jobs to talent. They accept the offer and then they rescind because they've looked around and they can't find housing. Or it's, you know, nurses and firefighters. I talked to a builder in Maple City last week who, he just looked at me and said, three of my guys are living in campgrounds while they're building other people's homes.
Right.
It is such a crisis. And I, again, at the local level, we've, you know, tried to use the tools that we have as a county, but I need to see the state be much more of a partner to address this housing crisis. I have some specific policy ideas because, of course, the voters very fairly said, well, what do you think we can do about it?
Right.
For example, right now all the money is to be made in short-term rentals. Let's just be honest. The economics say, why would I rent long-term when I can, you know, turn it around for much more short-term? I think we have to look at some property tax credits for folks who are willing to rent out second homes long-term.
Good idea.
So that our workers have housing.
Yeah.
And then NISHDA, the Housing Development Authority of Michigan, is sitting on millions and millions of dollars of public funds that are meant to incentivize developers to build workforce housing. Right now, Jerry, there's criteria that privileges developers who are building in populations of 50,000 or more. Well, guess what? That takes all of northern Michigan, rural Michigan, off the map. That discriminates against our community, and
well,
I want us to change that.
Takes everything from Lansing south.
That's
out.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I want somebody who's going to throw down a heck of a lot. I almost said. I want somebody who's going to throw down a heck of a lot harder for our rural communities to address this huge issue. Another one that comes up, I mean,
There's a problem that's been stalled in Grayling, the sawmill project, for that exact reason.
And so we need to make some of those changes. Another one that comes up, maybe partly because I share my own personal story, I got into politics and public service because I grew up very working class, Kalkaska County. My mom cleans houses for a living. She's the hardest working woman you will ever meet. But we struggled, like a lot of families then and now, and things that you would want to think that every family could just have access to. We couldn't always go to the doctor when we were sick. We couldn't always get regular dental care, mental health care, housing. So people have really resonated with that on the doors. Like, it's really important. I believe in us as a state. We can come to a point. We have enough resources. We have enough funds. We need political will to close those gaps and make sure that no family goes without needed care, and they certainly shouldn't be fearing medical bankruptcy. So those are a couple. So another huge one, frankly, Jerry, since the unthinkable happened in June of this year with the overturn of Roe versus Wade, which was settled law my entire life, is especially among women, but not just women, bringing up the concern about reproductive freedom and privacy and the recognition that now, since the Supreme Court has stripped that away, those protections away at the federal level, it now comes down to the states. And frankly, this one really highlights a key difference between myself and Mr. O'Malley, my opponent. I believe government should stay out of those private, difficult reproductive health care and family planning decisions.
I do.
And Mr. O'Malley has a track record of 10 anti-choice votes in the 4 years that he's been in the legislature, one in 2019 where he voted to put doctors in prison for providing the most common medically safe abortion care, and then this year he helped keep the 1931 abortion ban on the books, which has no exceptions for rape or incest. So this is a key difference, and frankly, this is a huge thing in the country. This is our first general election since Roe was overturned, and we have an opportunity to make decisions to go forward rather than being dragged, frankly, 70 years back in history. So that's an important issue that people feel very strongly about, and it really, really, frankly, is on the ballot. We need a pro-choice majority in our legislature, and we should pass Proposal 3, which restores where we were in Michigan under Roe. It does not do any of the wild, you know, conspiracy theories that are out there about
there
it.
There are a lot.
There are a lot, but I would just encourage people to go read the actual language and understand that this simply reinstates what was settled law in Michigan under Roe.
Very briefly then, what is the law in Michigan right now? Is abortion illegal, but the governor has...
Currently, the 1931 ban is on the books, but it is sort of suspended at the moment. So abortion care is still accessible because it's being held up in court by the governor and a couple of organizations that sued. So it is legal currently, but Proposal 3 would make it part of our state constitution to protect that. And then having a pro-choice majority in the legislature is critical because it'll probably face a lot of legal challenges. You just need a rock-solid majority who's going to protect your right to not have a politician get in the middle of your family planning decisions.
Bessie, I know we could go on a lot of different other issues, but time prohibits us. So make a little statement about why people should consider voting for you on Tuesday.
If folks are looking for somebody who grew up working my tail off, that was how my mom, who cleans houses for a living, she taught me you work hard for everything you have. If you want somebody who understands how hard our people work and that you want a politician who's going to work hard for you, whether it's health care, child care, mental health, housing, and also work to protect your right to privacy and family planning decisions, I'm your girl, and I have done that at the county level for 4 years. I've been a bipartisan, practical, pragmatic leader, and you can expect that from me, and I think that's what we deserve.
Betsy Kofia, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus, and best of luck during the election.
Thank you so much for
Tuesday.
Having me. Yeah, and go to BetsyKofia.com if you'd like to know more about my campaign. But whoever you vote for, please get out and exercise your voice. It's so important.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from sweet peas, muffins, and cupcakes, available exclusively at Two River Deli in Grayling, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with the Honorable Troy Daniel, who is presently the District Court Judge for the 82nd District and up for re-election.
That's correct, Jerry.
Troy, tell us a little bit about what you think makes you qualified to be continued to be magistrating the 82nd District Court.
Well, I've been an attorney since 1996. I practice in civil and criminal defense, representing over thousands of people over the years, getting to know them and their families and their personal situations. My point of going into being an attorney was to try to help people. And
right.
As judge, I have a better opportunity to help people and try to help them improve their situations and you know, lift themselves up and improve the quality of their lives.
You stepped into the 82nd District Court after the retirement of a previous judge, isn't that correct?
Yes, Judge Noble retired at the end of last year. He did fill in for a period of time this year until I was appointed to take over. I was appointed on the St. Patrick's Day this year, which I consider to be lucky, and
yeah.
Then sworn in on April 11th and took the bench on April 18th and been the judge ever since.
So I'm sure you had some preconceived notions about what it would be like to be a judge here in Northern Michigan. What are a couple of the things that have struck you that you might not have known or, you know, come to understand that, you know, there are issues here that need to be legislated properly?
Well, there have been some changes in the law recently. Like last October, there's a presumption that for all misdemeanors that there's no jail or probation. Although, as a judge, you can rebut that presumption.
Sure.
And as far as other changes, I mean, you know, we need more mental health services in our court system. I see a lot of people that are struggling with mental health issues, and they're in a caught in a cycle, and we need to try to help them the best we can. That doesn't mean that there's not consequences for their actions, but at the same time, we need to do what we can to try to help them out. And there's not a lot of resources, unfortunately, and we need more resources in the mental health area because it does affect all of us. And even if they do go to jail, we're still paying for them.
Right.
So why not pay for some services to try to help them get out of the loop and or to help themselves? I mean, I can't help people. All I can do is try to help people help themselves.
Right.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah, you can't fix people.
Right.
But I'm sure there's times when people come before the bench with you and they have broken the law, but you can clearly see that I don't think jail itself is going to help this issue. It could hurt the issue.
That's correct. A lot of times people have already engaged in substance abuse counseling and receiving services, and they're employed and they have families and children. And, you know, jails can sometimes cause them to lose their job. It causes
right.
them to lose their house. It could cause them, you know, they get out of that program and they're already engaged in, and then they have to start all over again at a later date. And again, I try to avoid that. Again, you have repeat offenders who don't get it, unfortunately,
yeah.
And you have to, impose, more severe consequences, especially when they keep coming back to you over and over again.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, you're talking about substance abuse or drinking and driving and things like that. And as you pointed out, there's lots of avenues to help people, but you first got to take the steps yourselves to get out of a cycle of abuse or change your life. And I guess that's probably the question I'm asking. Some other things other than maybe employing more healthcare services, what do you see from the bench that might be able to help people change their life in a new direction? I mean, do you guys have hope not handcuffs down in Roscommon?
No, not necessarily, but yep. We do have other, again, there are other programs out there, rehabilitation programs that we can refer people to and help them get assistance. But then again, as an attorney, I even told my clients when I was a practicing attorney that, rehabilitation provides you some tools, but you got to learn how to use the tools.
Right.
It's not an automatic magic wand that you go in there and there's also, domestic violence, counseling as well.
Oh, yeah.
To help people become, understand the consequences of their actions. And I've had people in front of me for domestic violence charges and facing sentencings, and I've tried to impress upon them the consequences of their actions, how it affects your children. Your children are exposed to this, and you're creating a cycle where they might go on and be offenders themselves, and or they're traumatized by the fact that you're committing these kind of crimes. And I've had some defendants actually tear up when I've said that to them because I don't think they've realized what they were doing and how it affected people around them.
Well, yeah, that's a sad case, and I'm sure that you're not happy to legislate these items, but that's what the judge's job is to do, and that's my final question to ask. We have hundreds of listeners that are going to be voting on the election on Tuesday, so why should they vote for Troy Daniel to continue to be the judge in the 82nd District?
Because I have 26 years of experience as an attorney, and again, I've represented over thousands of clients over the years, and my goal is to try to help people, again, and help people help themselves. I'm very fair and compassionate. It doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences for people, but
right.
At the same time, also I have experience as a civil attorney and also as a criminal attorney, and you know, I'm not sure people understand, but I have like 6 staff members in Ogama County and 8 in Roscommon County, so there's a lot of people I have to work with as well and try to help create a healthy work environment for them as well, and I think I'm well-suited for the job. I get along with people. I respect people, and looking forward to continuing helping people and serving the community the best way I can.
And a personal note, you're a Rotarian?
That's correct. I've been a Rotarian since 2000. I've been a past president in 2005 and 2006. When I was president at that point in time, the Rotary International motto was service above self.
Right.
And I've always tried to live up to that.
Yeah. Troy Daniel, best of luck on Tuesday as you are running for re-election for the 82nd District Court.
Thank you, JC. It's been a pleasure to be here on Northern Focus.
All right. Thank you, Troy. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Sweet Bees Muffins and Cupcakes came into the green room. You can get them exclusively at Two River Deli, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Terry Cook is joining me in studio. She's representing the Roscommon County 4-H program, the MSU Extension. Terry, we've had a lot of changes, a lot of improvements here with the 4-H in Roscommon. What's the latest and greatest?
One of the latest things that we have been doing is we started a exchange club.
Uh-huh.
And we have 10 members. And they took a trip out to Idaho
right. This
summer, and they will be hosting those 4-H'ers from Idaho coming here to learn about Northern Michigan this coming summer. So they have been working real diligently, fundraising, and because they have to fundraise all of their money to go to travel and to bring those kids
to host those kids here. Yeah. So are 10 kids coming back from Idaho, or do you know?
I believe there's 8.
Okay.
Coming from Idaho plus chaperones.
Yeah. No, that's a really cool program. They started doing that a couple of years ago, and it's just a wonderful way to understand how different yet how similar the kids are that want to know about, you know, living outdoors and being part of nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Terry, what's going on right now? You're still having the monthly meetings, and the kids are getting together.
Correct. We've been doing some things for our teens. We have coming up on November the 18th, we have a teen fun night.
Oh, cool.
At the Northern Center in Houghton Lake.
Sure.
And so that's free to the teens to come and have a fun night. And any parents that wish to stay, the Northern Center is giving them a free appetizer.
Cool.
And discounts.
And this is open to 4-H members and non-4-H members.
Correct.
Right.
4-H and non-4-H.
Yeah, so a good way to find out in firsthand what it's like to be part of the group here in Roscommon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you don't have to live in Roscommon to be a member of the 4-H program,
no,
correct?
No, it's the entire county. So
yeah.
St. Helen, Houghton Lake, Roscommon.
Crawford County.
Crawford County has a 4-H program as well.
Okay. All right. Terry, what else?
Some other things that will be coming up in January is we're going to be having our cross-country ski program. Roscommon County 4-H has partnered with the cross-country ski folks for a number of years, and it's actually they've been partnering for almost 30 years, I guess, and it's a 6-week program, and they teach the kids how to cross-country ski, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's a good partnership that we have.
Terry, I know you have a lot of this information on your Facebook page. What is that address? should be there. I think it's Roscommon.
Yeah, it's Facebook.com, Roscommon County 4-H Fund.
That's right. It's always updated. It's got the latest and greatest. And one of the cool things about the 4-H Club in Roscommon County, there's no longer a charge to be a member.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's been great for kids, and I know a lot of people have come in and joined it. And I know you're always looking for volunteers still, too, to help with work with the kids.
We are.
Yeah. So you can get all that information at Roscommon County 4-H on Facebook. Terry Cook, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll put that out on our Facebook page about the event happening on November 18th.
Thank you.
We will be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Sweet Peas, Cupcake and Muffins, and Iron Pig Smoke in Gaylord.
The only place for rock and roll.
Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. On the phone with me is Kevin Drummond, who is the manager of the Walmart in Gaylord. And Kevin, how long have you guys been doing Shop with a Cop?
Oh, well over 15 years. Started very, very small, and just with the idea of maybe, you know, trying to help kids, children out, and trying to, you know, just get a program that could really help them and their families and get to bond with the law enforcement. So we started with 20 children at the beginning, and all the way up to 100 a year. Last year, we with COVID and all that, it went back a little bit, but we've done well over 1,000 children in Otsego County.
Yeah, it's an amazing program, and, you know, not only does it help kids understand the meaning of Christmas, they also get to bond with first responders and police officers, which is really kind of a I know how much fun and how much the cops that you work with want to do this.
Yes, it's crazy. We have every law enforcement division is in at the state, city, county,
right,
and the DNR. And we literally, I mean, if you have the opportunity to see it, it's always the first Saturday of every month in December, and we start down at the pavilion, and then Otsego County Bus System donates buses to bring all the children here, and they do this whole large law enforcement procession all the way over, with cars in front and back and sirens, and it's just a great event, and they come up, and then to watch the bond time with the children and the police, you know, law enforcement, it's really, really special. And they take as much time as they need to take. So it's really interesting.
We were exchanging text messages. Explain to our listeners how they might have a child that could apply and be part of this and go ahead and shop with a cop the first week, Saturday in December.
Absolutely. So we offered to the Otsego County residents, it would be associate children in need is how we look at it,
uh-huh,
or newly adopted children or newly foster children. You go through Otsego County DHS, contact them. We'll put them on a list. We do not do any repeat children, and then we do the ages between 6 and 12, and then we also, just for the consumer to know, we send letters out to all the schools in the county, and then DHS their names and churches, and basically get a list from them, and then any recommendations from family members, anybody who calls in Otsego County DHS.
Hey, Kevin, I know you had the big golfing fundraiser. How can people donate to this fine cause?
Well, you can go through Otsego County DHS, Intention Otsego County Shop of the Cop. You can come to Walmart and donate there. Every time we held the event, we have customers donating to us at that time.
Sure.
And we collect all of it, and then we spend this year, it's going to be roughly about $250 on each child.
Wow.
And that'll be including all the Christmas gifts what's very interesting is the children will buy Christmas gifts for everybody but themselves.
Yeah.
And so we put the rule in that they have to buy a gift for themselves, and then it's within their immediate family. And then the officer is there to help monitor it, and then also to get that bond relationship, and then also to say, wait a second, they need more than the $250. And that happens, and then we'll give more.
Right.
And then we just want to take care of that child. child and their family and have a great holiday. And then we supply a holiday meal, a turkey, all the fixings, everything they can have to have a great dinner and a great Christmas. So. Yep.
Kevin Drummond from the Walmart in Gaylord, thanks so much. I look forward to broadcasting from Shop with a Cop the first Saturday in December. Go contact Otsego County DHHS for more information. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Sweet Peas, Muffin Cupcakes, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with Kat Pei from the Cherry Festival organization. And, Kat, not only do you have the Cherry Fest, but one of the great biking events in the world, the Iceman Cometh, this weekend.
It is, yes. The Festival Foundation here that also operates the National Cherry Festival, the Leaping Leprechaun, the Charity Ball Drop, has, of course, the 33rd annual Iceman Cometh Challenge, sponsored by Bells, and it all kicks off tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, so talk about the schedule, how people can watch, how people can participate. Obviously, I'm sure your registration is closed for biking, but it's a pretty cool event.
It is. Registration is closed for the Iceman Cometh. We had close to 5,000 riders.
Wow.
Iceman Cometh, which is 29 miles, starting off at the Kalkaska Airport, ending at Timber Ridge here in Traverse City. And then the Slush Cup goes in, it's just inside Timber Ridge, so it's a 9-mile loop. And then the Snow Cone, which is the premier biking event, if you will, is everything from a balance bike up to about the age of 10. Registration for Snow Cone is still available. It is a 1-mile loop inside Timber Ridge, and it is fierce competition with those balance bikes and streamers.
Oh, so that is still available. How do people register for the Snow Cone?
Certainly. They can register online or they can come visit us at our Ice Cycle Expo, which is really where everything starts kicking off. Tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. at the Grand Traverse Resort, you can come in and see all of our amazing vendors. We have almost 70 of them in Governor's Hall. Packet pickup is going to be alive and well and active for all of those Iceman participants already to get all their stuff. And then our ice gear, everything from sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, and more, will be there along with our amazing sponsors, Meyer, Bell's, Subaru, Trek. These guys have supported us through the last many decades of making sure the Iceman Cometh Challenge continues. They're all going to be there. And then Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the first wave takes off out of Kalkaska.
Yeah, talk about what the setup is for people that want to see the start or get to the finish. How does, you know, I have never been, so make it Iceman Cometh for Dummies for me, please.
Hey, it's we are all about the method is simple. So if you want to come visit the start out in Kalkaska, you go ahead and, of course, head out on 72 like you normally would into Kalkaska, on the Kalkaska Road. Parking is right there at the airport. We have lots of very bright, give them a break, lit up signs that tell you where you're going. So you'll see the police. You'll see everyone guiding you in out there. The amazing Village of Kalkaska is a great host to us. Park at the airport. Watch the start. It's super cool. However, if you want to come to the finish, park over by Cortade Elementary on Ratio Road. There's Ratio Farm. Park right on the farm. Again, you'll see the big signs and flags. Park at the farm and take one of our wonderful shuttles right from Cortade Elementary's Circle Drive. They'll take you into Timber Ridge so you can see the finish. At the end of your stay at Timber Ridge, had enough fun, go ahead and board our shuttles back to either Ratio or Kalkaska, wherever you've left your vehicle. We have shuttles going both from Ratio and Kalkaska all day to make sure that you can get in and out of Timber Ridge. As parking is limited, we expect over 10,000 spectators. We have over 5,000 riders. Don't have a ton of parking. If you don't want to come see us and you want to take a look from home, you can stream and watch the race live all day on Iceman.com through our friends at 9 and 10 and view it. They will be streaming the race live.
Yeah, it has gotten to be such a huge event, Kat. You know, you take a look at it from like 10, 15 years ago and what it's become has got to be even surprising to you.
It is. I've been involved for about 10 years in the event now, and it has grown and it's amazing. The Iceman ridership, as I like to call them, those Iceman riders have been doing it for a number of years, and they are dedicated not only to the sport of mountain biking, but to Iceman, and it has been incredible to watch. Our organization took on the event in about 2019, which was right before things very much
changed.
Got a little crazy for our world. And those riders made sure we stayed alive. They really did. They were donating race entries and everything else back to the organization to the tune of over $100,000 to make sure that we were able to continue. And this is really about them. This is their big show, whether they have ridden for 30 years or ridden for a year. This is their day on Saturday.
Yeah, I just wanted to announce, you know, we're being good friends with the folks at Bell's, and they have a couple of post-race events at Union Street and Thirsty Fish starting around 8 o'clock on Saturday night. So I know a lot of the riders will be kicking back. Good way to interact with them and enjoy a fantastic event right in Traverse City.
Certainly. So the Bell Celebration Zone is the premier place to watch the event if you're at Timber Ridge. You can stream it on the Jumbotron if you're at the finish line. Bell's is an incredible sponsor. We appreciate them. We will definitely see them all at Union Street, Thirsty Fish. And, of course, North Bar is the third place that they will be hanging out and enjoying the fruits of their labor all day, all the racers, because they have worked hard riding those 29 miles. I think they're anxious for that cold Bell's at the end.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to stand the carbs for one or two Bell's beverages. Kat Pei from the festival organization and Iceman Cometh, thanks for letting us know all about what's happening on our backyard Friday and Saturday.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Sweet Peas Muffin and Cupcakes, brought to Goodies in the Green Room. You can get them exclusively at Two River Deli, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with General Jack Bergman, our congressman from the 1st District, who is running for re-election. Congressman Bergman, you and I have been running into each other a lot lately. We were at the Mid-Michigan Honor Flight, and just seems that you're everywhere in northern Michigan recently. But you and I have been talking about Tudor Dixon. And it's good to see that she's closed the gap in the polls. What makes you think that she'll be a great governor for the state of Michigan?
Well, number one, Tudor is going to be a great governor because she does one thing that Gretchen Whitmer does not. And I can tell you this from personal experience in dealing with both of them. Gretchen Whitmer doesn't listen. She does things her way. Tudor is a listener and creates dialogue with anybody she runs into because she wants to hear what their issues are. So her ability to command, and to be a governor, you have to be able to command and lead things. You can't be just a staff officer or a career legislator or an attorney. Nothing wrong with attorneys. But attorneys are taught to debate and argue, not to command. And that's one of the challenges that Gretchen Whitmer has, is that she's not a leader. But Tudor's engagement, I've been with her several times here in the last few weeks throughout the 1st District, both in the UP, over in Traverse City, in Alpena, in Gaylord, all over the area. And she is in command right now going into the election, you know, in 7 days. And I believe that she is the right person to lead Michigan out of the dismal economic and cultural situation that the Whitmer administration has led us into.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of information, especially since the Democratic side is so much better funded than the story that we hear from Tudor Dixon and the Republican side. Just very briefly, since we're talking about that, General Bergman, what do you think about the rest of the ticket, the Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and Attorney General?
Yeah, you know, two things. Number one, Shane Hernandez, as the Lieutenant Governor, he brings a wealth of experience in legislative policy and law that is going to be a great complement to Tudor as governor. Shane knows how Lansing works or doesn't work currently, and with his leadership at the lieutenant governor level, we'll actually get something done in Lansing on behalf of all the, you know, all the citizens of Michigan. You know what? And Matt DiPerno, God love him. He is right there neck and neck with Dana Nessel because, number one, he's a fighter. Number two, he will do the right thing for the right reasons. And our Secretary of State candidate, Christina Caramo, she's just got a great magnetizing, if that's the right word, energizing energy level to her to actually put the Secretary of State. And just remember, the Secretary of State is almost singularly responsible for a major portion of the election. So we as Michiganders, we still have doubts about the integrity of the election process and where, you know, mail out ballots to people who no longer lived in, you know, addresses they hadn't, you know, hadn't been in years. So this group, all three, will bring integrity and intent back to Michigan leadership, and we need all three of them in office.
We're on the phone with General Jack Bergman, Congressman from the 1st District. Since we're talking about this very briefly, General Bergman, do you have any thoughts on the three huge proposals that are on the ballot this coming week?
I have a lot of thoughts on them, but I can simplify it down to one word: no. Vote no on all three proposals for slightly different reasons, but in all reasons, these proposals are on the ballot to take freedoms away from all the citizens of Michigan, not only when it comes to elections, when it comes to reproductive rights, all of these things. These three proposals are meant to take away your voice as Michigan voters.
General Bergman, you know, we can't go anywhere now without taking a look at the serious economic consequences happening in the country. Interest rates are rising. There's going to be another increase in the interest in the prime rate here today, it looks like, as well as interest rates to buy homes and cars. And I wondered what your views were. Obviously, this is the singular focus for a lot of people. Our dollars don't buy what they used to buy, and it's a serious crisis.
Well, it is, and it was an avoidable, self-made crisis under the Biden administration, because in simple terms, if you, in this case, the federal government, just prints money to keep printing money, it devalues the money that you already have or will earn in the future. It is simple. This concept of modern monetary theory is basically horse manure. The federal government is complicit under Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer for the last 2 years, printing money unnecessarily, which has fueled. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. You want to see big flames and an economy going up in flames? Keep pouring gas on it. And that's what you have when you have people like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, and to an extent at the local level, Gretchen Whitmer, aiding and abetting them by fueling a good economy that had seen on the last 4 years under former President Trump, had seen growth in real wages. Now, with the increase in the cost of goods and even a slight increase in wages, because they tout that, the average American today earning a paycheck has lost somewhere between a month and a month and a half's worth of salary on an annual basis. So think about that. You have about 15% average, on average, less spending power because of the Biden administration's poor, actually destructive fiscal policies of printing money. It's that simple.
Well, if you are reelected to the position of the congressman for the first district here, what would be one of the steps that you would work with in Congress to see how we can stem some of this and see the economy turn back around in a quick fashion?
Yeah, great question, Jerry. You know, my first term, I was blessed to serve on the budget committee as well as others. But when we, as the Republicans, gain control of the House, we are going to actually execute our legislative responsibilities of doing a budget and doing it in such a way that we bring moderate Democrat votes along with our conservative Republican values to a budget that is effectively going to make sure that, number one, we cut the overspending and the wasteful spending. Key word there, wasteful. The government roughly spends $150 billion with a B dollars annually in what's called improper payments. That's waste. That's just government waste. And the idea of us as the House of Representatives, the 118th Congress, with a Republican majority, we have to get into the budget and cut the wasteful bureaucratic spending, especially in the D.C. level, the bureaucracies, whether it's you pick your, you know, agency there, is that we need to get a hold of spending. And that's where me, as a member of the 118th Congress, are going to focus very tough decisions to have to tell some entities, you just don't get a 10% increase in your budget every year. We have to, as Congress, pass a budget and then hold the agencies and ourselves accountable. Because the American people want a government that's holding itself accountable, so then therefore we can report to the American people on the accountability piece that we're going to have to make some tough decisions, but by God, this Congress is going to do it.
Jack Bergman, the congressman from the 1st District, 1st Congressional District here in northern Michigan, I'll give you a quick moment to tell people why they should reelect you in the election on the 8th.
Well, you know, my mother used to say, don't talk about yourself, but I'll tell you what others have told me on the campaign trail here. His bottom line, they came up, they thanked me for my decades of service, not only in the military, but now for my service as a member of Congress. The people of the 1st District of Michigan know that I listen. My staff is spectacular. We all listen to the issues that our, you know, all of our constituents have, and that we do the job for them every day. And I'm proud to be part of a team that has represented the 1st District for 6 years, and we've gotten a lot done for all of our constituents. So I would humbly ask that the people who vote, and I so encourage everybody to exercise your right to vote, that you would cast your ballot for me to return to Washington, D.C. to continue to fight for you.
Jack Bergman, thanks for joining us here on Northern Focus. Thank you for all your service to the district, to the military, and to being a friend of this radio station. We very much appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jerry. And, again, it's a week, it's close to Election Day. Please get out and vote.
All right. Thank you. We will be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Sweet Peas Muffins and Cupcakes, exclusively at Two River Deli and Iron Pig Smoke. Delivered us a delicious breakfast.